Like,
well, we came in third.
What is your hope?
To get a stadium for the Raiders, a home for the Raiders.
Where?
Well, we initially were trying to get something done in Oakland. That didn't pan out. We made a commitment to try to get to Los Angeles. That didn't happen for us. We're third on the list. You know, if there's an option, if the Chargers don't accept the option to be the second team, then that goes to the Raiders to be the second team. But in the meantime, we're going to look for a home.
Well, at least he actually said the word Oakland in that soundbite, which is more than you actually got out of the Raiders last night in his soundbite or in their 64-word press release coming out of the meetings in Houston. Scott Baer, Raider insider for CSN Bay Area, he was in Houston all over this, and he's good enough to join us here on 95.7 The Game. Thanks a lot, Scott. Have you had the chance to talk to anybody in the Raiders front office, brass, PR? Hell, you could talk to security or parking lot manager for all I could say. Have you been able to get reaction from anyone other than Mark Davis on this?
Yeah, and they were definitely disappointed with the way things went down. They walked into Tuesday's meeting pretty confident in their Carson plan, and they really thought that after the LA committee recommended Carson, that was going to be a way to kind of carry that project through to the finish line. And really, when they switched to a secret ballot, I think we all kind of saw that NFL owners care a lot more about money than sentiment. They ended up going with Inglewood. So it was a surprise that they were sort of ready for. They were also kind of hoping to get a king's ransom if they were the team that had to withdraw, and I don't think we can say that they got that.
Not even close. $100 million is not impressive in the world of the NFL. You and me, it's a life changer. World of the NFL, it really doesn't even get the Raiders that much further to solving a single issue that they'd have here or anywhere based on the money that Mark Davis needs. They pay their commissioner $44 million. What the hell's $100?
Yeah, it's not very much, and I think the most difficult part about it for the Raiders is that there was a lot of talk about this golden parachute that obviously had some holes in it, and really, not only is it just $100 million, but that $100 million has an expiration date. Unless there is a stadium plan submitted to the league by January of next year, that $100 million goes away. And it can only be used in their home market, which is sort of an incentive for them to stay here. But as you and I and everybody who's listening knows, they are not $100 million away from building a stadium in the East Bay. So that creates a problem. And I think what you're hearing out of Mark Davis not saying Oakland and really finally admitting what he never admitted during the long lead up to this LA part, Libby Schaff and Mark Davis played nice, said everything was going fine and talks were going well. Well, talks have definitely hit a snag here, and there's frustration from the Raiders end that they won't be able to get over this hump, and $100 million is definitely not going to do it.
Besides, and we're talking with Scott Baer from CSN Bay Area, besides the money falling out of the skies and solving all of our problems, kind of like the way Gianna and I are going to hit the Powerball tonight and be $1 billion richer by tomorrow morning, outside of that, what is the first step either Oakland has to take with the Raiders or the Raiders need to take with Oakland to start handing some olive branches out here and get back to a negotiating table, which was dysfunctional or may not have even existed in the first place?
Yeah, Mark Davis said it yesterday, and several people off the record had mentioned that to me as well, that yes, it is about money, but it's also about land. And I don't have the exact specs in front of me right now, but the amount of land on the Coliseum site that the city of Oakland is offering is not what the Raiders want in order to develop and use that for further revenue. And there's a lot of problems with their initial discussions. We haven't even hit formal negotiations. And I think that could be the type of olive branch just to say, hey, here's a valuable piece of property that doesn't come from our general fund, doesn't come necessarily directly from our taxpayers, but hopefully can at least get the ball rolling, sponsor some goodwill, and get things moving in the right direction. Because we can throw out, you and I can say, a San Antonio and Portland and San Diego and any other leveraged ploy that we want to throw out there, and it's out there. And the Raiders are exploring other options. There's no doubt about that. That's not just smoke. But I think when it comes down to it, We all know that this is his best chance to get something done. And I think that they just have to get that process started here, because you look around, it's not like there's a bunch of NFL cities just absolutely begging to give a bunch of money away and have those corporate revenue streams that Mark Davis is looking for with the amount of liquid cash that he has to contribute. That's why I think, despite the fact that he's frustrated, despite the fact that he's going to look hard at San Diego, I do think looking inward is still the best option.
Yeah, and I'll tell you right now, if he thinks San Diego is going to open up its arms for a team it's never been home to, the way that they refuse to hug the Chargers, the team that's always called that city home, I think he's delusional. Plus, if you just want to talk about, like, are you good or bad at business, for him to try to be the third NFL team in Southern California instead of the second team now in Los Angeles – it's bad for business. I mean, San Diego's not going to need a team if there's two teams sitting in Los Angeles. So I don't think that's realistic. I also think that St. Louis basically told the NFL, we're all done with you today. Doesn't this really leave San Antonio's overtures as the only leverage Mark has?
Yeah, I still think he's going to play up San Diego, and I still think that they're going to look hard at it, and they're going to cite the years between 1982 and 1994 when LA had two teams and the Chargers were still a functional entity. San Antonio, I don't know. If you look at one of those Facebook diagrams about which parts of the country like which team, the Oakland Raiders have the LA-ish Inland Empire area, the East Bay area, and Oregon. I don't see a lot of Texas in silver and black. That's definitely cowboy country. And when you look at Bob McNair and Jerry Jones, who just flexed their biceps pretty hard yesterday getting that Inglewood project up and running, you think they're going to allow anybody to walk in and plant a pup tent in their backyard? I don't know about that.
Yeah, I don't know about that either. And we're talking with Scott Baer from CSN Bay Area. Before you came here, you worked covering the Chargers down in San Diego. Do you think Stan Kroenke swallows his pride, and even though he's been denied the orchard, he still takes the apple that, Dean Spanos still takes the apple from Kroenke and joins him in L.A.?
I think they have to, because, to your point earlier, that three teams in Southern California could be difficult, and being the third team in Southern California could be difficult. Just imagine if Dean Spanos works hard to get a deal in San Diego, which therefore exercises the Raiders' option to go to L.A., in which case they would put just married signs and cans on the back of their car as they drove south. then you would have the Rams, which have 50 years of history in Los Angeles. Then you have the Raiders, who have a huge fan base in the entire Southland. And you have the Chargers, who are claiming but have never shown their books not a single time to back up their claim that 25% of their business comes from Orange, Los Angeles, and Riverside counties. They would lose that 25%. They would cut their market down in favor of two teams that, frankly, are a little better on the roster right now and a whole lot more popular in that area. That doesn't make any sense. And even if this isn't the sweetheart deal that Dean Spanos was working out with Bob Iger and Mark Davis and Carson, and it may not be ideal, it may be something that does have to get worked out. I'm sure you've been looking at your Twitter timeline and about the framework of a possible deal between the Chargers and the Rams working already. One thing I can tell you, talking to some people associated with the San Diego Chargers, is they started working on this, discussing this hours after the vote last night in Houston. So they're going to explore this option. They ain't stupid, you know, and they understand that even the public money that could come from San Diego in the tune of $350 million still has to pass a vote, and there's no guarantee that's going to happen. Why would you pass up a guarantee when you have something more solid, even if it's not ideal, in whatever they're calling it now, NFL's Disneyland?
Let's shock every listener and actually ask you a football question. What is Reggie's top priority besides basically flushing all but three or four guys on his defense and replacing a whole lot of bodies with better bodies? Let's talk about position of need. Where is the greatest position of need? Obviously, the correct answer is cornerback. Continue.
So they need one, two, maybe they need three of them. And they're going to have to replace Charles Woodson. And so, yes, the entire secondary. But I'm thinking about the fact that they could use a Bobby Wagner clone playing that inside linebacker spot. Somebody with great speed, somebody like that Raglan kid out of Alabama, quick plays on the inside. I think they need a thumper to really own that defense now that Woodson's gone, a real true field general. That's what I'd go with in free agency, or even better, Mike Backer. You might be able to get a pretty good one, maybe even the very best one at number 14. So outside the secondary, Mike Backer, and then interior lineman, and, you know, every other safety position.
Yeah, I tell you, offensively, I think the team's pretty darn well set up. I like the line. I like the quarterback. I like the weapons. I need a compliment for Latavius Murray, who I thought maybe led the NFL in unfair criticism, certainly led the AFC West in an unfair criticism this season.
Yeah, and Murray's the type to – he's his own worst critic, and he takes all that to heart. And I love the fact that after the season, he said, that didn't feel like a 1,000-yard season because I don't think I came through for my team enough. So he's critical of himself already, and I think it's because he felt the weight of the entire running game in the second half of the year, the weight of the entire offense on his shoulders. If I don't produce, if I ever put the ball on the ground, we're in huge trouble. And I think if you give him some help, maybe somebody, a bruiser who can run low to the ground and opposite physical stature to wear them down, then his breakaway speed really becomes even more valuable than it was early in games last year.
Are you worried about CSN bringing in someone opposite of your physical stature at any time?
Well, there's a lot of guys taller than me, so, you know, I mean, if they brought in Andrew Bogut, I'd be really concerned, yeah.
Think how charming the accent would go across, though, during Raider reports. That Australian accent, it's tough to deny. Scott, thanks a lot, buddy. Really appreciate your time this afternoon.
All right, thanks, Dan.
Thank you very much.